I want to give the final word today to Kathy Galloway, who is the former head of Christian Aid, but above all else is just someone who has spent her life committed to issues of justice. Kathy.
Thank you, Mars. A couple of weekends ago, I was looking after my four-year-old granddaughter, and over ice cream in the park, she asked me where I had been the previous week. I was in a country called Greece, I said, visiting some people who had to run away from their homes in a war. "What's a war, Granny?" she said. And suddenly, I was stricken to the heart, and I didn't know how to go on. How do you explain to a four-year-old what a war is? Where are the words to say to a child who has only known love and security that there are so many people in the world whose daily work involves using every kind of instrument imaginable, from their bare hands to the most sophisticated weapons of mass destruction, to frighten, hurt, injure, and ultimately destroy other human beings, including little children and babies? How could I speak to her about children crying as bombs rain down on their homes, about shattered streets, about crying from hunger because there wasn't any food available anywhere? What could I tell her about the fathers and uncles who didn't come home one day and nobody knew where they were and it was too dangerous to ask? Or about why the mummies and daddies finally decided that they couldn't stay in their homes any longer and why they had to leave their toys, their friends, their schools and perhaps even their grannies behind and set out on a very long and horrible journey where they didn't even know where they were going to end up? Could I tell her about staying in lots of different places with strangers who spoke many different languages that you couldn't understand, but who were also very frightened? About sleeping in tents, if you were lucky, but in disused factories or army camps surrounded by barbed wire, or even in the street, if you were not lucky? About walking for mile after mile in the heat, in the rain, even in the snow, of being wet and cold and feeling ill? What would I tell her about going in boats that had far too many people on board and men who shouted at you and the people who went in the water and never came out? How could this little girl understand why mummies get so upset and cross and make you do all these horrible things when mummies are the people who are supposed to look after you? Or why they couldn't go to where the daddies were in another country because soldiers had shut the gates and were hitting people who tried to get through? Or what could happen to children who got lost and didn't have anyone at all to look after them and were scared of the people who might try to take them away? I am someone who is usually considered good with words, but I was silenced. What's a war, Granny? I knew that such is the nature of four-year-olds that that would not just be one question. Each one would eventually lead on to another, as this bright and very literal little mind attempted to make sense of my answers. This was not just a simple question. This was to open the door on the tragedy and horror of life. I could not bring myself to break into this innocence. I could not be the introducer of nightmares. In my silence, several strands of thought ran side by side simultaneously through my mind. One was focused on all the children, many of them younger than four, who I had seen the previous week in Samos, in Thessaloniki, in Athens. And all the millions I hadn't seen but know exist, and who had experienced the full force of this waking nightmare, their childhoods devastated. Do I have the right to protect my grandchild when so many mothers and grandmothers are unable to? Is this just another part of our Western privilege? But simultaneously, and quite out of the blue, and Maureen also picked this up earlier, I remembered my own mother, who at the age of 7 had been evacuated from Edinburgh along with her 5 sisters during World War II. She didn't have the same kind of journey. She only got sent as far as Trinent. But that was far enough. She was sent to live for a year with an utterly unsuitable stranger, an old woman with no experience at all of looking after children, who scolded and terrified my mother and the sister who went with her. Looking back, the evacuation of children during the war was quite extraordinary, with huge cultural impact. Today, it would contravene every principle of child protection. But it saved lives. Evacuation in Britain during the Second World War was designed to protect civilians, particularly children, from the risks associated with the aerial bombing of cities by moving them to areas thought to be at less risk. Operation Pied Piper, which began on the 1st of September 1939, officially relocated more than 3.5 million people. In the first 3 days of official evacuation, 1.5 million people were moved. 827,000 children of school age, 524,000 mothers and young children under 5, 13,000 pregnant women, 70,000 disabled people, and over 103,000 teachers and other helpers. Children were parted from their parents. Nearly 20,000 children were evacuated overseas, and over 30,000 people arrived in Britain from continental Europe and 25,000 from the Channel Islands. Of course, this was a different crisis, responding to an external threat. Britain was at war. But what is remarkable is that at a time where it was poorer, weaker, and infinitely more at risk than it is today, a massive logistical operation involving cultural upheaval for the entire population was undertaken with almost the sole purpose of keeping the children safe. We should, as a nation, be better at understanding what drives people to the truly horrendous path of the refugee and the asylum seeker. Because at its heart, whatever the cultural and economic and political challenges, the vast majority of people who are uprooted, who are displaced, who are refugees, who are migrants, who are asylum seekers, are simply seeking what all of us want: safety, the necessities of life, and a future without fear for our children. For me, one of the most important values that people of faith can offer in the context of war and displacement is the belief that care, justice, and compassion are not confined by the boundaries of our own states. From a faith perspective, our country is the whole world. If it is not the whole world, then we are not true to our faith. That's not to say that we can or should solve all problems or rescue all refugees. The challenge is not for us to do what we can't, but it is for us to do what we can. That is our challenge. We can always do so much more. The challenge is never finding things to do. On my recent visit to Greece, I was really struck by the heroic efforts of Greek citizens, of faith communities and organisations, even in the midst of their own economic and straitened circumstances. Local people everywhere responded with generosity and compassion, recognising that being illegal does not make people less than human. Thankfully, my granddaughter was diverted from her question by ice cream and the children sitting at the next table. When the question comes again, as it surely will, I want to be able to say to her that in the midst of the fear and destruction, there are also always many people who are kind and help in the most immediate practical ways, who treat strangers, refugees, migrants, asylum seekers with respect and dignity, who welcome them into their homes, speak up against vile rhetoric and cowardly othering, who lobby their politicians and who support principled leadership. We all recognise principled leadership when we see it. And I want to tell her that there are many people in every country in the world who know that the frontier is never somewhere else. The frontier is always within our own hearts. There are many people expressing and activating, actually, the finest values of their faith: to serve, to befriend, to do justice. And I think that that means telling about people like everybody here. In whatever we do, we should celebrate and affirm whatever we do, and the inspiration and vision that we've had today. And you know, in the end, we can't worry about what we can control. What we can do is what we can do, and we can do that. Thank you.